Hey, Pastor John Aiken here. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Faith Center podcast. We hope today's teaching will awaken and equip you to live out your God-given purpose. Enjoy.
Hi, everybody. I'm so nervous to be up here. Usually I'm back there with the younger people. Not that you guys are old, but the younger people, like Gannon. Where have you been, man? We're missing you, calling you out. Anyways, oh my gosh, I'm so nervous. Thanks. Okay, it's fine. Well, I will later. We're getting to that. We're going to worship tonight, which I'm really excited about, and glad the Mexico team is back. Hope you guys had an awesome time. Came back in one piece. So tonight, I can't even take credit for what we're going to talk about because I didn't come up with it. Jonas Niehoff actually taught this to our youth group last week, and it was such a good, timely reminder even for me, so I just wanted to share it with you. And no, Dad, you can't do that. You're sitting, it's like, I feel like, you know how when a teacher, like when a principal audits a class, and they're just sitting there nodding at you as you, like, stop, gosh, jeez. Anyways, what I'm going to teach you tonight, that man came up with, this was all came from Jonas' brilliant mind. I'm just going to steal it. What are you doing here?
I'm just
going to
make sure you did it right.
Oh, no.
I heard you say that.
Gosh, get out of here. Try not to mess up our teenagers too bad. Okay. This all comes from Jonas's brilliant mind. He gets all the credit. I get none. But nothing I'm going to tell you tonight you don't already know. It's not like this is groundbreaking. It's all stuff, you know, it's just a really good reminder and a good visual, I think. So we're going to talk about the presence of God. When I think about the presence of God, I have one memory that comes to mind more than any other. And that was when I was a little girl. It was some, like, maybe a Sunday afternoon. I don't remember how old I was, but I was in elementary school. And I don't remember what brought this on, but I had this very strong desire to do something for God. I don't know, probably it was after church, something. I just had this strong desire to do something for God, to please God. But I was a little girl, so I have no money, no real skill sets. I didn't really know what I was going to do. So I just did what my childlike mind, what made sense to that brain. So I went around the house, and I grabbed all the candles. I don't know if you remember this. Yeah, I grabbed all the candles in the house that I could find. I took them to my room, and I grabbed my Bible, and I grabbed my favorite CD at the time. I wish I could remember who it was, but it was some cheesy Christian girl band from the 90s. So playing my big CD player in my room, playing a CD, sitting on the floor of my bedroom with my lit candles, reading the Bible, just sitting there. And it's so silly, but I just, in that moment, I felt the presence of God because I felt a calm, I felt a peace, I felt a joy, and more than anything, I felt like God was proud of me in that moment. And I was proud that God was proud of me. So I actually ran out to go get my dad. I don't know if you remember, I pulled you into my room and said, look at what I did. And you were like, oh, like, yeah. It's kind of like when a kid draws a picture for you, and we all know kids are terrible artists, but and you're just like, oh, yeah, I can totally tell what this is. And it's so silly. But in that, I swear I haven't felt God's presence as strongly as I did that day, maybe ever, because it was such just a, I felt like God was content to just be with me where I was as a little girl, just sitting there reading my Bible and I guess having a seance. I don't really know with my candles there. And I think what it was is that I was carving out a place for God's presence. I didn't realize that's what I was doing, but I just had a desire to be with God, and so I made a space to do that. And we know from Scripture that God's presence never leaves us. He never leaves us nor forsakes us, but we're not always aware of God's presence. And we don't always, even if we're aware of God's presence, we don't always participate in it. And it's kind of like the rain, like it was raining outside today. The rain falls, Scripture actually says, the rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. It just falls. So if you stepped outside today, you got wet. But if I go outside and I cut my hands or I take a bucket outside, I'm going to get more water. Is it because the rain's falling on me more than anybody else? No, I'm just carving out a space for it. And that's kind of what the presence of God reminds me of. So we're going to talk about getting into the presence of God because that is where we were meant to be. And I'm not talking about chasing a feeling, although a lot of times when you're in the presence of God, there are strong emotions that come up, but it doesn't always have to be that way. That has been actually one of the biggest lies that I've learned, not because anybody's told me, but just from experience of being in church. The biggest lie that I've learned is that if I'm in the presence of God, I'm going to be emotional. And that's not true. It doesn't have to be that way. But a lot of times it is, and that's okay. And we're not chasing a good feeling. I'm not chasing something to make me feel good, but I am chasing the reality that I was made for. I was made to stay in God's presence at all times. And so whatever I have to do to get there. So if I feel a disconnect in the presence of God, it's not on God's end, right? He never leaves us nor forsakes us. It's on my end. So, and let's be honest, it is not always easy to enter into the presence of God. God's presence is all around us, but it's not always easy to enter in because we have worries, problems, just life gets in the way. And I mean, at least for me, it's not always easy. And let me let you in on a little secret. It's not even easy, maybe half the time, maybe more than that, for me to enter into the presence of God here on a Sunday morning because stuff gets in the way. And you have to work through that. So it's not always easy to enter in. We're not just chasing a feeling here, but this is what we were made for. This is the place we were made to live. So what we're going to talk about tonight is how do we enter into the presence of God when we feel stuck? You're going to know all of this. And a lot of this is like, there's so much overlap in what we're going to talk about. It's just something that I think is true from my personal experience and really helpful to see. So with that being said, let's read. Can someone read for me? You have your Bible. I didn't bring my Bible, actually. Will you read Psalm 100 for me? With a mic. I'm getting it to her. Hold on. She's turning her pages. Yep, just the whole thing.
Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations.
Thank you. Psalm 100. So let me start writing on this board so that I, because this visual was very helpful to me. Oh, sorry, that's loud. If I misspell something, mind your business. Oh, gosh, now I'm questioning. That's how you spell presence, right? Presence? Okay. Presence of God. That's what we're talking about tonight. How do we get to the place we were made for? How do we stay there? So Psalm 100, I don't know what verse it was, but enter his gates with what?
Thanksgiving.
Oh, no, my board's moving. Thanksgiving. Enter his courts with thanksgiving. So thanksgiving is a key that opens heaven's doors when we do it properly. I think a lot of times we give thanks like it's a formality, like it's something, it's an automatic response. Like when someone gives you a compliment, what do you say? Thank you. You teach our kids, what do you say? Even if you don't mean it, right? That's just the response. You say, thank you. It's just a formality that we go through sometimes. But true thanksgiving, genuine thanksgiving, calls you to reflect on the person that you're thanking. It's not just a one-and-done statement and then you move on. It requires reflection. You have to reflect upon the person that you're thanking and what they've actually done for you. And really, you can't separate who the person is and what they're doing. So if I'm thanking God for meeting a financial need of mine, if he's met my need, I can't thank God properly without acknowledging that he's a provider. Like that is part of it. And if I'm failing to grasp that, if I'm failing to acknowledge that, wow, God is a provider, it's who he is, then I haven't given thanks properly. That's my personal opinion on that, but you cannot be thankful to God without acknowledging who he is, right? And we can be thankful without feeling thankful, something that I do, you know, we just came out of Thanksgiving, and something, you know, I asked JP on our way to our first lunch that we had that day. I was like, what are you thankful for? And he said, oh, and then he went through his list of things he was thankful for, because I like to do that stuff to him. But, you know, we don't always feel thankful, but it's something we can do regardless, because you can think through a list in your head right now of blessings and things that you're thankful for, right? So Thanksgiving doesn't have to come out of emotion, doesn't have to come out of even recent experiences. And when we're thanking the Lord, it doesn't really have to come from personal experience at all, which I'll get to in just a moment. So Thanksgiving, when done properly, I think turns into praise. We could do a word study in the Bible to see all the different. I know Bill Griffin would love to take you through a word study on all the words of praise and worship in the Bible. We're not going to do that tonight. A real simple, like rudimentary definition, the way I look at praise is it is simply blessing the Lord. Praise is honoring God for no other reason than He is God and He is worthy. You don't need any other reason for Him to be praised. There's a whole bunch of different ways that plays out in Scripture, but that's just like the most basic level. I bless the Lord for who He is. I don't have to feel a certain feeling to praise. I don't have to understand my circumstances to praise. I don't even have to understand God to praise Him. Praise comes out of the fact of who God is, whether I understand it or not. So in an example I used earlier about thanking the Lord for financial provision, Even if years ago, the Lord provided for me, but here I am again in a situation where I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to make ends meet. I don't feel secure. I don't feel like God is the provider because it's been however many months or whatever, and I still don't have that provision yet. But my thanksgiving calls me back to a place of remembrance of what the Lord has done. And that's fact. That happened. I don't get to say it didn't. Your emotions will lie to you, like Dad always says, to try to replay what really happened. But the fact is, God is a provider. And so even though I'm not living in the reality where God has provided for me now, yet, even though that's not a thing that I have that is physically present in my life right at this moment, that doesn't mean that it's not true. And that's where praise comes from. Praise comes out of the fact is you are worthy. And that's what praise is. Out of our praise comes, wow, this marker is, there we go. Hope you can read my handwriting. Out of praise comes worship. Again, I know there's a lot of overlap in that. This is the way my brain thinks about this, the way Jonas put it, that was super helpful to me. To me, worship is where praise gets personal. It's no longer I'm just praising God because of the fact that He is provider. It's an intimate interaction with the Lord where I'm worshiping Him because He's my provider. And I'm entering into the process of praise. It's not about me, but I'm entering into that praise process, if that makes sense. That you hear a lot of songs, you hear worship songs today. You can tell the difference. You know, if you've been around church a long time, you might say high praise songs that are really about the Lord, right? That you can tell a worship song is all about God, and it's just praising Him. And then there are other worship songs where I enter into it, like Build My Life. You know that song? I will build my life. It's still worshiping the Lord, but now I'm entering into that interaction with Him, and this is a very personal place. Does that make sense? Sort of, kind of. Worship to me is something it's an activity that engages your soul in praise. You can praise with your soul. I don't mean to say that you can't, but I can praise without the feeling. I can praise without that. My worship is where I engage my mind, my will, and my emotions. That's where the intimacy part steps in. It's also not just music. Although God is so brilliant in the way that He crafted music and the way that He crafted our bodies, that music so perfectly does this for us, which is one of the reasons that we do it here at church, just because God's that cool and He made a really easy way for us to enter into His presence. So we worship. out of our worship, well, before I get all the way over here, our worship gets extended. It doesn't stop here because it doesn't stop there because God's presence is not just a bubble for me to live in. It's not just about me. God's presence is a reality for the community of God to be in, not just me. So when I'm truly entering into the Lord's presence, my worship, the boundaries of my worship extends beyond me in a moment. It extends. It's almost like, have you seen The Wizard of Oz? You know how the witch lady, the good witch or whatever she is, comes down in the bubble and she's in this big pink bubble and then there she is. It's kind of like we live in this bubble, but when we're really in the presence of God, when the presence of God saturates every part of my heart, even the incredibly selfish parts, the only logical response is to try to push on that bubble and to push the boundaries out so that now you're in the Lord's presence. And again, I know the Lord's presence is everywhere, but I guess we are carving out a bigger space for the presence of God. Maybe that's a better way to say it. So our worship extends beyond just a moment in worship. It extends to our work and our service. Actually, there's a word in Hebrew. I think it's pronounced adovah, I think. It's a word that you see a lot in your Old Testament that is a word that is translated to one of three words. It's translated into either worship, work, or service. Some examples of like when Moses said, "Let my people go so that they may worship me." And when they talked about the Sabbath and they said, "For 6 days you shall work." And then I think it's in Joshua where it says, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." All three of those words are the same word, which means those things, they're different. Worship, work, and service are different, but they're connected. And there's a lot of similarities in that. So we all have work. You have a job. You have responsibilities. You have chores. You have kids. You have natural obligations and responsibilities that you have to do, whether you feel like it or not. You also have service. There are things that you do, sometimes just out of your own, fleshly moral compass, because how many know you can do good things without even trying to please God? Lots of people do that. So we can do good things for people. But when we have been in the presence of God, our worship infiltrates our work and our service. And that leads us to sacrifice. Sacrifice is the involvement of my physical body or my spirit man in worship. That could look like fasting. It could be maybe you feel the Lord calling you to some lifestyle change, some sort of prayer. It could also be practicing spiritual gifts or growing. It's the involvement of my physical body or my spirit man in worship. Things like fasting, a lifestyle change, something that you feel like God's physically telling me to do, or in your spirit, where you feel like the Lord is maybe calling you to practice spiritual gifts or grow spiritual fruit. So it's kind of like I'm doing something, and it's a sacrifice because it takes, time and effort. What we sacrifice is placed on an altar before the Lord. Just write that up here. It's placed on an altar before the Lord. And anything we place on an altar before God, He is faithful to consume. That's what He does. And when He is faithful to consume our sacrifice, whether it be your time, your money, your gifts, your talents, your relationships, whatever it is that your worship is extending into, the Lord is faithful to consume it. And where does that bring us right back to? Thanksgiving. Because now I've given something to the Lord and He's done something with it. Now, mature believers can enter into the presence from, wow, my handwriting is like all over the place there. But mature believers can enter into the presence from any one of those places, right? And when we're in tune with the Lord, when we're regularly in his presence, I can be working without a thought, without thinking about the Lord. I can be working and then all of a sudden be in the Lord's presence because I've created a discipline and I can carve out a space there. I can jump right into worship and carve a space for the presence of the Lord. But when you are stuck, when you're not feeling it, because if we're honest, we all go through those days a lot where we're just not feeling it. I'm not talking about, I keep saying feeling, but we're not chasing a feeling here when you're feeling disconnected from the Lord, I guess. An easy way to start is thanksgiving. Because if you do it properly, you will flow through this kind of natural cycle that will just bring you in and draw you into the presence of God. But mature believers can get there from anywhere. Does that make sense? So tonight, we're going to worship, and I wanted to just set aside time to practice this. I encourage you to go through these steps in whatever order feels most like you or whatever you need. Take as much time as you need. And you could say, well, what does that actually look like? I don't know. It looks different for everybody. Maybe, you know, some examples like Thanksgiving could mean maybe you just need to come to the altar and take communion and bring yourself to a place of remembrance. Which, by the way, we always have communion out here, and I never see people taking communion on Sunday morning, and that just really bothers me. We always have it here. When I'm not doing worship, I try to take it. So take advantage of that. Participate in the Lord's Supper and use that as a way to take you to a place of remembrance and thanksgiving. Maybe when you praise him for no other reason than he is worthy, maybe tonight that looks like reading your scripture to see proof of it in your text. Maybe it looks like singing or shouting or clapping or dancing. Your worship tonight, maybe it looks like being still before the Lord and prayer. And maybe it looks like a prayerful asking the Holy Spirit how he wants to move. Maybe your sacrifice tonight looks like personal reflection of saying, okay, God, what is it that you're calling me to sacrifice this week? And my job and my family, how is my worship? How am I supposed to be carving a bigger space for you? Maybe your service tonight looks like ministering to one another using the gifts of the Spirit. Maybe it means speaking a prophetic word to a brother or sister or praying together. So I don't know what that looks like for you. I hope that this wasn't just for me. It was for me, I know for sure. We were made for the presence of God. And it's okay that we sometimes struggle a little bit to get there because that's normal. But we just have to, as children of God, it's like, it's almost like I had to stop by my mom's house the other day to do something and she wasn't home. So I had to get the key and I got the key and it was so cold outside that the key wouldn't, it just wouldn't work. Oh, I was getting so frustrated because it was so cold outside and I couldn't get the key to open the door. And it's like, we're children of God and we can't figure out how to work the key to get into the presence of God. It's okay to fumble with the lock. It's okay to do all those things, but don't forget your key. Don't lose your key. And we got to know how to get inside it. We got to know how to get into the presence of God. Does all that make sense? Sort of, kind of. I'm going to have Bill come up and pray for us. And then we're going to enter into worship. Yeah.
You mentioned key. Yeah. In my Bible, uh-huh. Where Thanksgiving in the scripture you read, I'd written keys. So, but let's pray. Father, we just come before your throne of grace, and we just give you thanksgiving, Lord, because we know how good you are. Lord, we praise your name. We worship you, and we offer ourselves tonight, Lord, as a sacrifice. We raise up a sacrifice of praise, even when we don't feel like it. Especially then, it's a sacrifice. So, Father, just let your manifest presence be in this place. God, we love you so much. We just want you to come. We want you to come and speak to us, to minister to us, just to feel your love, the embrace of your arms around us, to know that when things seem to be falling apart, that you are there and that you care and that you hold us in the palm of your hand. You are so good. You are so worthy. And tonight we just humble ourselves in your presence. Father, I thank you for Caitlin and her obedience to you as we enter your presence with thanksgiving, praise, worship, and sacrifice. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for listening to the Faith Center podcast. To connect with us, go to faithcenter.tv and fill out our connection card. We pray blessings over you and your family. We'll see you next time.